Timothy and chapter 3, if you'd like to follow along, Paul's letter, second letter to Timothy, chapter 3, what will be very familiar words this morning. And again, not presuming upon God's grace or His Spirit, let's ask God to be with us in this most important part of our worship service when we come to gather around His Word and to hear Him speak to us. Father, we do ask that You would send Your Spirit to give us that illumination, a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation. Your Spirit who brings to our mind the things that we have heard in the past, and Your Spirit that gives clarity as we hear things perhaps for the first time this morning. We pray that You would indeed speak to us through Your Word, that we might be Your people, complete, perfect, equipped for every good work in this life, and we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I saw a cartoon earlier this month about the three wise men. One of them was looking up at the sky and looking at the star that was over where the Christ child was supposed to be. The star over Bethlehem. The other two wise men were talking together, and one says to the other, "Don't worry about getting lost." He says that he has a global positioning system, a GPS. As with gladness, men of old did the guiding star behold. As with joy, they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. A GPS. I've never stopped to think about what does GPS mean. It's kind of like 3M. Who stops to think about Minnesota mining, manufacturing, GPS? What does that mean? Global. A network of 32 satellites that orbit our globe, and it only takes four of them to pinpoint a location on Earth. Positioning tells you where you are, where something else is located on our globe. A system, it all works together to tell you where, not only where you are, but if you wanted to go somewhere, it will tell you how to get there. Where would we be today without our GPS? Whether you're driving through the highlands of Scotland or trying to find a castle in Germany or just trying to get to Brown's Barbecue in Monk's Corner, South Carolina, a GPS is a wonderful tool. When you're going on a journey, you need something to give you accurate directions for finding your way. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I want to begin reading at verse 10 and then read to the end of the chapter. This is Paul writing to Timothy. He says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Here we have a description of God's GPS, or more simply, just God's map to direct us in our journey as we go through life. First of all, Paul says that Scripture is God's map for all of life. Paul is in prison at this point, and he is writing one last letter to his friend Timothy. He knows that his time is short. If you peek over to chapter 4, beginning at verse 6, you kind of get a sense of what Paul is thinking at this point. He says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." And so he wants to write one last letter to his friend Timothy to encourage him. And here in chapter 3, Paul tells Timothy that he has all of the instruction and all of the direction that he's going to need for life. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Our Westminster Shorter Catechism summarizes this truth for us when it says the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy God. In Scripture, God himself is speaking. He's revealing something of himself and of his will for us. God loves to speak. God loves to communicate with his friends, with his children, and to give them directions that they need for life. Now, the King James Version is perhaps familiar to some of you, and perhaps you're reading it this morning. It can give you the wrong impression at this point. It says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and that word could be misleading because to inspire means to breathe in. And that is not what Scripture is. The Bible, Scripture, it's not that God took the writings of some men and then breathed into them a special quality. Rather, God breathed out. He exhaled. He spoke words. Men heard those words and they wrote those words down. Everything that God wanted to communicate was written down, and so Scripture is God speaking, it is God's breath. Theologically, we call this revelation. God is revealing something about himself and about his will for us. God reveals himself in nature. We call that general revelation. The heavens are telling of the glory of God. But the heavens can't tell you how to get rid of your sin and to find home, a home in heaven. And so what we need is special revelation. We need God to actually use words and to speak very specifically to us in revealing something about himself and his will for us. God is speaking in the Scriptures. All Scripture is breathed out by God. The word Scripture means writing. It's in a written form. It's script. God speaks, men listen, and they write down what God wants written down. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 gives us a very brief insight into some of this process. Peter says, "Know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes, carries these men along in their thinking and feeling, all of their gifts and personality, they're being carried along so that they write down exactly what God wanted preserved. God is speaking in all the scriptures. All scripture is breathed out by God. Old Testament, New Testament. Moses, David, Isaiah, Matthew, Paul, Peter, 66 books of the Old and New Testament. And God himself is speaking in scripture. It's not, again, just good people writing down nice thoughts about what they think God is like. It's not just people speaking on behalf of God. The Bible is God himself speaking to us. You may have read a biography of Carrie Fisher. Or you may have read some of the online articles that have been written now following her death as to what kind of a person she was. And you might be left thinking, I wonder if she was really like that. How different it would have been if you had met Carrie Fisher and you were able to spend time with her and talk to her and get to really know her. The Bible is not just someone telling us what they think about God. The Bible is God himself sharing his heart so that through the scriptures, through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, we know who God is. Let's stop and just think of some implications of this. Shouldn't we be thankful for our Bibles? I mean, there really is a God. He is there and he is not silent. He has spoken. He has revealed to us something about himself. He's shown us his heart. He doesn't want us to get lost in life. He wants us to truly know him and the way to go. And he's given us a map. He's given us directions, his own voice telling us what to believe and what to do. How thankful we should be that we have a Bible. And shouldn't we do our best to understand the Bible? It's not enough just to have a GPS in your car if you don't know how to use it or you don't take it out and use it. My wife and I took a train from Geneva, Switzerland, up to Hanau, Germany, just outside of Frankfurt, to pick up a rental car that we were going to use for a week. And I wanted one with a built-in GPS so I'd know where I'm going. We very quickly, as we sat in the car, realized this GPS is a little bit different from the one we use in the States or the one that we used in Scotland, because it's in German. You know, and someone said, well, you can just, you know, do something there and change the language. I said, well, what is the German word for doing something here, you know, to change the language? I don't even know that. And so they sent a little teenage girl out, and she poked a bunch of buttons on it, and all of a sudden it's speaking English, and all the print is in English, and we were able to use it. It took us a while. We had to sit there and familiarize ourselves with a new device to see how you put things in, how it's going to work. But it's not enough just to have a GPS in your car if you're driving around. You need to be able to use it, and you need to use it. It's not enough just to have a Bible or two or ten. Every time the pastor changes translation, you get another Bible. It's not enough to have online access to 208 different translations in 70-something languages on your iPhone, which is what Bible Gateway says you have. It's not enough to have all of that. You have to have one that you actually take out and use. Read it. Familiarize yourself with it. 10 minutes a day is worth more than 70 minutes a week. Read some every day. Read it all the way through. perhaps over a 3-year period. All Scripture is breathed out by God. But not all Scripture carries the same benefit. Over the years, I've kind of begun to rethink these read through the Bible in a year programs. There's something that bothers me about spending as much time in 2 Chronicles as reading Romans 8 or the Gospel of John. So use a schedule so that you read all of Scripture, but maybe choose one that will take you through the Bible in 3 years. Not all Scripture carries the same benefit. I've got a GPS in my car right now that'll show you every street in Gaffney, South Carolina. But I'm not in Gaffney, South Carolina today, and so that doesn't help me. You need to read things in the Bible that are going to be of help to you today. Read all of Scripture. It's all breathed out by God. It's all profitable. You need to read it all, but you need to read what's most important. Martin Luther's been accused of having a canon within a canon. That is, he had certain books. He said, you need to always be in these books. Gospel of John, Book of Romans, Galatians, Ephesians, 1 Peter, and the Epistles of John, as well as Genesis, Psalms, and Isaiah in the Old Testament. Certain books are going to be more important, more valuable on a daily basis. As you are gaining that breadth, you need to know these other books in depth. All Scripture is God's map to guide you on your journey through life. Next, we see that Scripture is God's only map for this life. Timothy's in big trouble. Paul is dying. Paul says, you know, I'm ready to go. My time of departure is here. I've already been called into court. I know that a death sentence awaits me. And Timothy is thinking that Paul is not going to be around much longer to lean on and to learn from. And Timothy is very much like some of us. He's got personal problems. He's young. He's inexperienced. He's got stomach problems. He's timid. He's probably an anxious introvert. And Paul has been telling Timothy, there's work to be done. You've got these problems, but I'm leaving. The time of my departure is here. You've got work to do. Finding your way through life is going to be a challenge, and Paul has not been all that encouraging about the future. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. He says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. And he says that there are people that are going to try to trick you and get you to change what you believe. Verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Don't you hear these same voices today? People that have been deceived, and then they're trying to deceive you. People that say you can't trust the Bible. It's just another book written by men. You know, or religion is the cause of all of the problems that we're seeing in the world today. Terrorism and terrorist attacks. It's all because of religion. There is no God. That's just a projection of what people want to be there. They want some kind of father figure up there in the sky, and that encourages them to keep pressing on in life. There's no truth. There's no one set of truths that everybody has to follow. God's word is being challenged on so many levels. But we've all had help in learning what is true. Verse 14, Paul says, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. Now, who was it that helped Timothy when he was a child? His mother and his grandmother. Chapter 1, verse 5, Paul says immediately at the beginning of the letter, I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. Other people helped. Chapter 2, verse 2. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, and trust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Witnesses. Faithful men. Chapter 3, verse 10. Paul talks about himself. You followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. Do you remember who it was that helped you? You ever pause to give God thanks for a mother, grandmother, teacher, somebody in your life that came alongside, somebody that came to you and told you need to get out of the church that you're in and go to one that believes the Bible and teaches the Bible? Who is it that helped you? And then Paul says, remember what it was that they used to help you. Verse 15, how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Sacred writings. Not just the opinions of good people or the advice of others. Sacred writings which are able. There's a divine power that is resident within God's Word. God's Word does stuff. God's creative Word, He speaks and He calls into being something that wasn't there before. Able to make you wise, not just to show you the way of wisdom. The law does that. It shows you the way of wisdom, but you're sitting there thinking, I can't do that. The gospel is God's wisdom that is created within us. Only the gospel of Christ can make us wise. Able to make you wise, not just what you feel to be right, but what is right, what you know to be right. Wise for salvation, not just direction for how to have a profitable life, how to be happy, how to get the most out of this life, but how to escape death. How to get real life, eternal life. Salvation that is through faith. Again, not just do better, not try harder, not pay for the wrong, work hard, hope for the best. It's through faith. It's actually believing that God, who cannot lie, is saying something to you that is true, and He is promising, and that you embrace that word of promise. Salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. He's both the object of our faith and the substance of our new life. Through faith in Christ Jesus, you believe that Jesus, God sent His only Son, Jesus, into the world. Born of a woman, born under the law. He lives a perfect life. He goes to the cross. He suffers your punishment on the cross. He defeats death. He defeats the devil. He rises again on the third day, and that life, resurrection life, is available to you as you exercise your faith in Christ. He becomes that content of your life. Sacred writings, Scripture, God's Word, received by faith, it brings you into direct contact with Jesus Christ, who is Emmanuel, and then three words, God with us. This is the only rule that God gives. It's the only set of instructions that will work. It's the only map that truly corresponds with the landscape, the geography, the reality of this world. It's the only map that God gives us and wants us to use. And then finally, Scripture is God's perfect map for life. Problem with paper maps is they're quickly outdated. Anybody still have one of those fold-up maps in your glove compartment? Anybody have gloves in their glove compartment? South Carolina. Maps quickly are outdated. I was doing a history project in high school and had a family set of encyclopedias. Anybody know what a family set of encyclopedias? Books, and this was in the 1970s. I'm doing a history report and looking up an article on Germany. It had a map, and it's divided in half between the Axis and the Allied forces. So I look at the copyright page. It's 1940-something, you know. We'll talk about that afterwards if you don't know what the Axis and Allied forces were. It's out of date. The map was out of date. Even my GPS, when I turn it on now, a little screen comes up that says, a lot has changed in a year. It's time to update. Scripture will always give you the right directions. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. It's profitable for teaching, for telling you what's right, who God is, what sin is, what pleases God, how God would have us live in 2017. That stuff doesn't change. God doesn't change, and so what he has said is not going to become outdated. You can always trust the Bible to give you accurate, up-to-date information that matches reality, the geography, the landscape of reality, the way that the world really is. Scripture will tell you when you go wrong. Scripture is profitable for reproof or for rebuking, for pointing out when you miss the mark, when you take a wrong turn in life, you get distracted. When you sin, Scripture will tell you what that looks like. Scripture will also show you how to correct what's wrong. Scripture is profitable for correction. It is not the end of the world if you make a wrong turn in life. I mean, this is the great thing about a GPS when you're on a trip. It's not the end of the trip. You don't get out of the car and say, you know, just take this thing because I missed that exit. You know, you're driving along and it says 500 feet, make a left-hand turn, and your wife is going, you know, there it went. You know, what were you thinking? It's not the end of the world, is it? My old one used to say recalculating, you know, but now it just says, you know, take the next left. Or at some point it will just say, when convenient, make a U-turn. It's not the end of the world. If you lie, if you're mean to your wife, if you say something ugly to somebody at work, if you dishonor your parents, if you spend your nights worrying, the Bible's not only going to show you that that is wrong, it's going to show you how to make that right. How to tell the truth, love your wife, ask for forgiveness, respect your parents, how to overcome evil with good. How to pray and let God worry. Even if you fall into some huge moral failure that disappoints all of your friends and family, some huge sin, the big one, whatever that is in your mind, it's not the end of the world. You know, God doesn't send you to hell for that one sin, no matter how big it was. Scripture will always tell you how to correct what's wrong. When possible, you make a U-turn. You take the next road. You get back on track. Scripture will help you stay on the right road. All Scripture is profitable for training in righteousness. Once you get the feel of a GPS, it takes a while to figure out how that works, what 500 feet looks like before you make the turn, or the voice commands that are being given. It becomes much easier to navigate your way through life once you get a feel for it. It takes time traveling through life. On the journey, going along, living life with all of its problems, with your Bible in hand, it simply takes time to learn how to use the Bible and how God will speak to you as you go through life. You're trained in righteousness. That's what we call spiritual maturity. You develop maturity as you go along, spending time traveling with your Bible in hand. But then, like all illustrations, the idea of a GPS or a map falls apart at some point. One thing that a GPS cannot do is create a road where there is none. It cannot create a road if there's not one there. Again, my wife and I were in Eisenach, Germany. We wanted to go to the Wartburg Castle where Luther did something at some point in time. And I told Libby at some point, I'm getting Luthered out going through Germany. I've seen the Luther house here, Luther house there. But anyway, we wanted to go to this castle, the Wartburg, and so I got the GPS. It had it listed in there, you know, pushed it in for the destination, and a little screen came up and said, we can get you close, but we can't get you there all the way. And so we just followed it, and it took us to a parking lot and dropped us off, and there I saw the obstacle. The Wartburg is on top of a mountain that is over 1,300 feet up. You had to get out of your car and walk the rest of the way. A GPS cannot create a road to take you all the way where you need to go. But the Bible is not a GPS. It is not just a map. It is not just a collection of instruction and directions on how to go through life. It is God's creative word. Genesis 1, in the beginning, God created. God said, let there be light, and what was there? There was light. Romans 4, God gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things which do not exist. When God, by his Spirit, speaks to us in his word, and that word is received by a God-given faith, God's Spirit then creates in us what God wants. And that's verse 17. That the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Isn't that our destination, at least in this life? To be a man or woman of God who is complete, who has everything that is needed to do everything that God has called us to do. Isn't that our destination? As with gladness, men of old did the guiding star behold, as with joy they hailed its light, leading onward, beaming bright. So, most gracious God, may we evermore be led to thee. Let's pray. Father, we have talked about a lot of things that have to do with your word, and perhaps it all seems so basic and fundamental. And yet here we are on the very first Sunday, the very first day of a new year. And we need to be reminded that we have not been left as orphans, that Christ himself is indeed with us through his Spirit, and that we have not been left without direction, instruction. And so we do thank you for your word, We pray that we would be able to take this small portion of your word and perhaps others that we have read this morning in our worship service and as we go through this week, that we would turn to them often, rethink through what was said on your day, and that you would use your word to sanctify us, set us apart, mature us, train us in righteousness, that we might be the men and women that you've called us to be. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.